Good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting. Today is August 11th, 2026, and the time is 7:01 p.m. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Huck.
Here.
Mr. Dinkin.
Here.
Ms. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Will you please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, please note this meeting is being live streamed and recorded. There are two cameras in use, as usual, this evening. One focused on the Board of Education, another one that may be used during any public commentary or presentations. By participating in this meeting, you acknowledge you may be captured on video. As a reminder, if you wish to address the board during the public commentary portion, there are forms in that back corner as you entered the door. Please fill one out and hand it to Jamie, our administrative assistant. Superintendent Shaw, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
There are none tonight, sir.
As we have none, can I have a motion to approve the agenda as released?
A motion that we approve the agenda as released.
Do I have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Dinkin.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Huck.
Yes, and the motion carries. Next, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw. Well, let me make sure I got this order. For his comments.
All right. So I appreciate it. So with August and the start of our new school year, each board meeting for my first superintendent's comments will have a different group in. And so it could be a program and or something's going on in our system. And so tonight our highlight is our learning bank. So Mr. Malopsy, you want to take the honors, please?
Yeah, we're very excited to introduce Kim Gluski to present some of the innovative things that they're doing with the Learning Bank in their new home and how they're reducing barriers and challenges for our adult learners based on what they've learned from MDE and other districts. So, Kim, welcome back to Monroe, because I know you've been
here
before.
Thank you so much. Good evening. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Thank you so much for this opportunity and for having me. I will try my best to stay within the 10 to 15 minute time frame, but there are some really exciting things going on at the Learning Bank that I was excited to share with you. So I wanted to start out by sharing a story of a student that I think is very inspiring, and it kind of brings to life our whole reason for being in this community and the impact that we can have. So this is Caitlin Lake. Caitlin had just finished earning her GED when I started in this role. I started last August. She had just finished, and she completed all four tests within about 2 months. At the time, she was homeless and just uncertain about what the future holds. She finished her GED and continued to come usually 3 to 4 times a week to class just to continue to learn. She loved learning, and I would watch her interact with the students, and she had a way of building relationships that you can't teach somebody how to do. She just had that gift. And so we brought her on as our staff. So she's a student persistence liaison because she understands the challenges that students face and the support system available in the community. And she is a math tutor because she's going to college now to be an accountant, and she loves numbers, loves math. She said those are things that make sense and that they're predictable. We are super excited to have her on our team. She did enroll at the college. She's done 3 semesters and maintained a 4.0 through all 3 semesters. And the story has a really exciting end to it. For this part, her life will continue, and I'm sure she'll do amazing things with us. But she was able to secure housing through MCOP. So she has, it's a duplex, and she's on the upper level of a duplex. 2-bedroom, kitchen, bath, all of that. So just really proud of her and really excited for her because her homeless situation is a little bit unique. She was homeless on her own. Her mom had to decide which child she could take and which one she couldn't. Grandparents said, you can have one child and yourself. So at a very young age, she was homeless on the streets by herself, and she's just phenomenal. So if you ever get a chance to meet her, give her a hug and tell her you're proud of her, because she's just amazing. She loves and gives back.
Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome. So this is what our enrollment data looked like for this past year. We had 198 students enroll. Primarily, they were in the GED / HISET program. We had 110 students in that. The HISET is an equivalent program to a GED. So a GED is a computerized test. As you may know, our testing center at Monroe Middle School was shut down for the school year. That needed to be used for another classroom within the district. So we didn't have a testing center. Our students were going to Bedford Adult Ed or to Southgate Asher. And as many of you know, transportation is concerning for them. So in our new building, we will have a testing center. We have a dedicated testing space, which we're very excited about. We're in the process of working with the fiscal agent to get approval to purchase the new computers that we need. Previous computers don't meet the standards that we need now. But we do have a dedicated space. So with the GED, the students take four tests: reading, language arts, science, social studies, and math, four individual tests. And then the HISET is five tests. It's similar. The only difference is there's two differences. It's paper and pencil based, which for a student that's been out of school for a very long time, that's comforting often. And it works very well for our jail program, where we can't test with computers in that facility at the current time. And it takes the reading, language arts, and it breaks it into two subjects. So it's a separate reading test and a separate writing test, so it's five subjects. So primarily due to not having a testing center, we sent a lot of students that didn't have transportation through the HISET program. And the state recently allowed you to combine GED and HISET tests. So if they had previously taken a GED test and, let's say, science, they didn't need to take it for HISET. They would take the other subjects. So they combine, and it's called a high school equivalency. So I think a lot of people think it says GED on your diploma that you get. It actually says HSEE, high school equivalency. So combining them isn't changing the credential that they're getting. Accepted by colleges, employers, all of that. So we're able to combine. When I started, we had a history of 2 to 3 students in our high school diploma program. This is for students 23 and older. We've grown that program to 29 students this past year, and we have 2 part-time teachers on that team, and fully anticipate continuing to grow that. It's a really good fit for a student that maybe has severe test anxiety, or just like in my scenario, I have a special needs child. My son has severe nonverbal autism, so what my education needs would be different than somebody that doesn't have a special needs child. So this allows students to work at home. They don't have to go to a testing center, which is hard to find childcare when you have a child that is high needs. So it gives opportunities to, variety of opportunities to students. And a student that really struggles academically, it could take them several years to get to the baseline that they need to be ready to pass a GED. Versus if we send them down a high school diploma route, we request their transcripts from their previous schools, they can often get through those classes faster, and we can provide individualized support for that as well. We also have an ESL program for adults, 33 students enrolled. We have beginner and intermediate level. We have a couple students that are transitioning from that into the GED. Once their skills are high enough, they've started that transition, so that's exciting to watch. We had a shift in our jail program due to a situation that happened outside of our control. Unfortunately, we no longer have a longtime instructor that we had there. So we brought in somebody that was already on our team working in a different role, but working in the prison during the daytime. So now she's co-teaching with another teacher that had been there a long time. So they're co-teaching, and that program's just taken off in ways that are just phenomenal. I think in the past they've averaged 1 to 2 graduates. We started with this new transition, new change in staffing in February, and we've already had 4 graduates And they test on a regular basis, so I think that number is going to continue to grow. So that's a really great partnership that we have there with the jail. We had 29 credentials earned overall, so 5 diplomas at the bottom, 12 GEDs, 5 combined GED and HISET, 4 from the jail, and 3 that were just straight HISET that were non-jail students. So we were really excited about that. So as you know, we have the name Learning Bank, and it fit really well in our old building because we were in a Monroe Bank and Trust building, First Merchants Bank. But we want to keep that name because that name means something to this community, and it means something to our staff, means something to our students. It has a lot of value. So someone on our staff started brainstorming and was like, how about we just have some kind of theme? And so came up with the Trojan Pig. And so if we're thinking about a piggy bank, kids have piggy banks to make investments. This symbolizes a student investing in their education, their future, their family, and us investing in them as well. So Caitlin, who I was telling you about previously, enjoys crocheting. So she actually asked if she could turn this pig into a crocheted pig. After a student has 12 hours of instruction, they will receive the crocheted pig. They're going to put a little note inside of it with a goal that they have, and then when they graduate, the pig is going to get a graduation cap, and they'll get to read their note. So just something to kind of make learning a little more fun. It also has a sensory component to it, so the pig has a squish ball in it, so it could be like a stress relief thing as well. So those, we're excited to have that started. Our process, this is typically what it looks like. So a student enrolls, they go through orientation, they take what's called a CASAS assessment, that's going to tell us their reading and math scores. That gives us a good indication if high school diploma is a better fit for them or if their skill level is where they should be to where GED might be an appropriate fit. Individualized instruction, everything's 100% individualized, which we're really excited about. We have, trying to think, 4 math tutors. We have a math teacher that we're super excited that we brought on about a year ago. She has 30 years experience teaching at the high school and phenomenal, relates to our students so well, understands this population. We have great GED teacher for reading, language, arts, science, social studies, all of that. So together we've been really able to individualize to see exactly through assessment what areas a student is missing content in, and then teaching them only what they need, so we're utilizing their time most effectively. Student persistence support, so we have a few persistence liaisons that if a student is struggling with barriers or attendance, anything like that, they reach out to them and offer a helping hand, like, how can I help you? What's going on? I'm here for you. I'm your cheerleader. Do you need to take a little break? All those kinds of things. Work through those with them. So we have a great support system there. We also have somebody that helps with the final step for them, so they don't just graduate. Now what's next? They're going to have somebody on our team that's going to help them decide, am I going to go to college? Am I going to go to skilled trades? Am I going to look for employment? What am I going to do? And they can help guide them through that. They can do interest surveys to see. A lot of times they don't even know what they're interested in because they've been in a field so long, like, that they just don't even really know what's out there that they would enjoy. So she does interest surveys with them and talks about the education needed in a career, and then connects them. We have a great partnership with the college that's very strong and connects them with the college or skilled trade programs or Michigan Works, all of our partners. Then they take their GED or the HISET test if they're doing one of those two paths, and then graduation. So we had our graduation ceremony this year. It was a great time. We had it at the River Raisin Battlefield. And this coming year, we have exciting news, you probably already know though, it's going to be a joint ceremony with Orchard High School, which we're really excited about because I think it's going to be really powerful to for parents to see their child walk across the stage and then think, if they're in a situation where they don't have a diploma, here's a free program, and I can do the same thing that my child just did. So we're very excited about that. So these are just the programs we offer. So we are always striving to continue to learn best practices in the field of adult education and to be on par with the innovative things that are happening in other programs so that our students can finish in a timely manner and continue to move forward with their goals. So we are offering one credit for we call it homemaker experience, so being a parent. There's so much that a person can learn from parenting, and they've come through a different path than a traditional student, and that deserves to be awarded credit for the skills that they've learned through that. So we do that. One credit for volunteer experience. For that, we're looking for the equivalent of 60 hours of volunteer experience documented. Up to 2 credits for work experience. So that we're looking for the equivalent of 2 years full-time experience, but we do allow a combination of part-time experience. And then, as I mentioned, we're combining GED and HISET tests to support a student that maybe has transportation issues or maybe really struggled with the reading language arts GED, then they could take the HISET or vice versa. And we have seen some success with that. We've seen students that have failed the writing HISET test, and we're like, how did they fail it? Because they do a pretest and they score so well. And like, our teachers are experienced. They know how to grade it, and they know what they're doing. And so we can't figure out how they're failing it. And so we're like, okay, let's just switch them to a different test. And they're getting like college level scores on the other test. So sometimes you just have to look at a specific student and kind of know the test. We know with reading language arts for the GED, you don't need to pass the writing to pass the test. That's just how it is. So if a student's really struggling with writing, that's the path you want to send them down, versus tell them to go to HISET where they have to be a good writer and they have to take 2 separate tests. So it's just really knowing our students and individualizing it. We are very connected to the community. We are stationed in a building with the ALCC and the Navarre Library and MCOP. Phenomenal partnerships, and also have the jail, Michigan Works is a key partner, Monroe Community College, Presbyterian Church hosted our Christmas party. They're a good partner. This is one of my favorites, the IHM sisters. We've had several of them volunteer for reading language arts support, and in fact, one, when I previously was here, was volunteering, and she came back about a year ago to continue volunteering, and she's got to be in her late 80s. She can get around town. Her name's Kate O'Brien. She's just phenomenal. So they've been such a blessing to us. Oh, I'm over on time. I'm so sorry. Okay, so I'm going to quickly go. So these are just pictures of our exterior, interior. The view is just phenomenal. If you stand in these classrooms, these pictures don't do it justice. You overlook the common area, and then Kitty Corner for the fire picture, Kitty Corner is the train tracks. It's just an industrial, very cool view. We're advertising this year on the Lake Erie Transit bus, so that's new, and we have 2 external advertisements and 4 internal ones. The internal ones have a QR code as well. GED Testing Center, we are on our way to getting that up and running. And then these are just some of our goals for the upcoming year. We want to expand our student persistence liaison team, get the GED center up and running, continue to enroll students year-round. I think that's it. I apologize for going over.
Oh, you did. So Kim came to us 1 year ago and has just taken this program, wrapped her arms around it, and it was funny when we had the conversation around the day with the pig and thinking about that just that thought pattern and, again, using talents. And so I commend Kim on all that she has done and where she's really trying to take it. And the
wonderful
part was that she had to take on, then be actively invested into the building work that was going on, too, at the new facility. So with that, is there any questions you have for Kim?
I have one question, Kim.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Your curriculum, does it include, like, what I call home finance, like budgeting and how to manage your money?
So if they do high school diploma, yes, they financial literacy would be okay. A and B would be class that they take.
Okay,
yes,
great.
That's a great question. Really important one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
We have an elevator now, as of yesterday. Awesome. I know that was, like, something we were really waiting on, the elevator working, so we
Those
can officially move in.
Those are some stairs to climb.
Yeah, so, yes. We're excited because now we can officially move in our final things. But does anyone have questions, concerns?
All right. Well, great job tonight,
yep.
Kim.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you
very much.
Yep. Thank you. I appreciate it. Sorry again for going over.
Right. Oh, no, you're fine, ma'am. First set of comments there. Yeah. All set.
Public commentary. Any for board agenda items?
No.
Moving on to staffing reports, contracted services report, resignations report. Any discussion by the board members? Hearing none, we'll move next to our consent agenda. Are there any items the board members would like to have moved off the consent agenda and moved over to new business?
Yeah, so I'd like to move item 2B, Monroe High School varsity softball overnight field trip to new business for discussion.
Okay. Do we have support,
support
for that? Very good. And I don't believe we need to vote on that, correct? Mm-hmm. Parliamentarian? Yep. As long as we have support? Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good. Okay, so then we will move into, well,
we
first
have
we
to
have to vote on consent agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, then can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda with 2B removed and move to new business?
I'll move to approve the consent agenda as edited.
Do I have support?
Support.
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes, and the motion carries. Next, we'll move on to new business. Before we move into new business, some background and context on the agenda items. They've been thoroughly discussed in prior work sessions or addressed in our weekly board briefs. So as we move through those, they have been thoroughly vetted, and we've done our due diligence prior to reviewing those tonight. And as a reminder, our work sessions are open to the public and are live streamed. I'll turn it over to Mr. Payne for the stormwater compliance work plan.
We have to do this first. We have to do the consent agenda first.
Oh, I thought it was moving move to B.
No, it has to be moved
to
first.
First?
Yeah.
Is that correct, mm-hmm. Parliamentarian?
It sounds like it is. It's been
Sorry. It has been our past practice. Anything
right.
We move off of consent agenda becomes the very first item.
Shall. May. Might.
Very well. Then we will move on to the, hold on, let me, the MHS varsity softball overnight field trip.
All right. So that was on as a approval for tonight. And so it's been moved over to new business. And so if we could answer any questions.
Well, first, let's get a motion.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. Can we get a motion on the MHS varsity softball overnight field trip?
I move to approve the Monroe High School varsity softball team overnight trip to Daytona Beach, Florida from March 27, 2027 through April 3rd, 2027 in accordance with the policies of the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education.
Do I have support?
Support.
Okay, now discussion by board members. Any questions?
I just had some questions and concerns. It looked like maybe it was a spring break timed trip for the softball team. I'm just wondering if it's juniors and seniors, if we're talking freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors. It sounded like it was 18 kids and 15 adults. Possibly 15 of those adults are parents, so I'm kind of wondering why is it a school-sanctioned trip rather than a just these parents want to take their kids to Daytona for spring break. Sounds also like they're driving. I'm just concerned about how many cars we have on the road with kids during that high traffic time.
David, can you answer that question?
I believe it's a varsity softball trip, so it would be open to freshmen, sophomores, and juniors, and I think anyone else who they, you know, oftentimes they pull some JV folks up as well. I believe it is a spring break trip, but I couldn't answer as to why it's not go at it alone versus a school trip. I know that teams take trips to warmer areas when they can't get on the field, and I think that's what that's what this is.
Yeah, I think it's more that if I, without having talked to him, just bring clarity to it, is that it's better to ask, say, this is what we're going to do. Our varsity softball team is going to be down there, and rather than, oh, I hear our varsity softball team is heading to Daytona Beach, and their parents are taking them, and then and so it's our team that's there, and yet didn't come here. So I believe that's really, it comes down to, it's more that the board is aware of this and that they're representing us, because they are going to practice and they may pick up a game down there or a scrimmage. I just feel like
it's lacking a lot of information. Mm-hmm. Like, are they going for a camp? Mm-hmm. Are they working with a travel agency? We don't know where they're staying. This isn't like what we normally see. Normally mm-hmm. we see, you know, they're going by bus, they're staying here, this is their itinerary. You know, these are all, it's very.
So it says there's 15 adults that will be going, but we don't have the list of those names or iChats for those.
Yeah, and I don't know that they would be doing any of that at this point because it hasn't been approved yet, but I understand the questions about what exactly are they doing.
And the paperwork they submitted talked more about team building. It did not say anything about practice or scrimmage or practice games or anything like that.
Yeah, I would like to see
like that. It just adds team building.
That's kind of where I was at with it, is because if you as a group of people want to go to Daytona Beach to build up, that's not doesn't need to be a school sanctioned event. You know, if you go and you go do it and you all parents want to get together and you all want to go do it, then, you know, that has nothing to do with the district itself. For the district to put their stamp of approval on a spring break trip, which is what it presents itself as, I think that we don't have any.
I would like to see more information.
Yeah, especially, and again, I don't know. It sounds like they're driving individual parents' cars. If we sanction it, what is our insurance liability?
Well, it's not like they're going down there to play in a tournament like the band did or something like that, or they're going to a camp. They haven't indicated any of that. They just want to go down there and have fun. And I say good for you all if you all want to go down there and have fun. Right.
Are they doing this just as a matter of courtesy to us? Let us know that they are doing this, or they want it sanctioned?
So I don't think they want it sanctioned, but they are going under the umbrella of Monroe Public Schools. They're traveling as an official team. I do think, you know, the great state of Ohio has kind of put things into play, 26 years ago, when I played high school sports, and we couldn't get on a field. We would travel. We weren't permitted to play. We could only do intra-squad scrimmages and things like that, but it did give us an opportunity to play and not have to worry about snow removal or being on a gym, fighting for gym time, those sorts of things. So it does happen. I understand. I understand what you're asking, and we can get you more information.
I understand that you're looking at information, but from my perspective, the school does not need to send a team. If they want to go as individuals, then they can go as individuals. I don't understand what we need more information on. They're not going as this varsity fault. Like, the band went, and everybody else goes to these things because they're representing the school. They're
Something
not representing
happens.
The school in any capacity, except where they might wear our shirts, I'm guessing. I don't know.
If something happens and we've approved this, then we're the school district can be liable.
Okay. So I think I appreciate this conversation is extremely helpful to the clarity of, for example, like overnight trips and what that would entail. For example, if they're going to be going charter bus, doing something that's greater where
that's a school sanctioned school event because they represent the school.
So, okay. David will confirm that this is what it really appears to be, which is that the parents are taking, and they're all going to be down there for spring break and doing things together, more in that tone. And if that's the case, then it will not be back in front of you. But if it's more of, no, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, which X, Y, and Z will be more that it's
camp, it's tournament, organized with.
Then they'll come back to you for approval.
Could you ask them as a suggestion that maybe to charter a bus instead of having a dozen cars driving down?
Well, that's what we want to find out is what they are
Exactly. That's why I said, could you ask them if that's a possibility?
Yeah, but we can postpone the vote.
It seemed like it could be a lot safer
so
doing that.
Information.
I say vote. But
I guess we have options. We can vote on it, or we can vote to postpone to a later meeting after we have additional information.
So if you're putting what they gave us forward, this is what we have now. If we vote this down and they want to bring something else that says this is a school-sanctioned event, that we're going down there to represent the school district in some avenue, that would be something different. That's my idea.
It would be.
I think it'd be cleaner to vote it up or down and then let them come back with something clearer.
That's
great.
Okay.
Letting it sit in some kind of limbo is.
That's
kind of
fair enough. If that's what the board wants to do.
If we vote it down, is that the end of it for them?
No. As Darla was alluding to, is that it would be substantially changed. So, example, yes, we are taking a charter bus. Yes, we are doing this. We are going to fundraise. We're going to do all these things that generally.
Or you're representing the school. You have to be representing the school in some capacity. There has to be a reason why it needs to be the school's representing. Yeah. You're representing the school.
Makes sense. Like playing a game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Let's be clear, what is the motion?
Yes.
The motion is to support it.
To support it.
Yeah.
Mr. Sabatini?
No.
Mrs. Tarassi?
No.
Mrs. Williams?
No.
Mr. Jenkins?
No.
Ms. Myers?
No.
Mr. Hatt?
No, and the motion fails.
All right, so now we're on to our stormwater compliance work plan. Mr. Payne.
Thank you, Superintendent Shaw. We're asking the board to approve the continued use of Arch Environmental Group for the stormwater compliance services and authorize the district to proceed with the required services at a cost not to exceed $22,865 using the general maintenance district service fund.
Can I get a motion regarding the stormwater compliance work plan?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. I move to approve the continued use of Arch Environmental Group for stormwater compliance services and authorize the district to proceed with required services at a cost not to exceed $22,865 using the general maintenance district service funds.
Do I have support?
Support.
Discussion, questions from board?
So we just did a $22,000 or something for groundwater. What did we do? We voted on something with this whole groundwater plan
prior to this. The initial one was to go through the district, map everything out, do the research. This proposal to continue that and to keep compliant with the state regulations.
This is going to be an ongoing request for the money? It's for how long?
Until state of Michigan decides we don't have to do it. Now, one thing I did propose to Arch when we had our meeting is what could we do as a district to reduce that cost? So is there some things that we can do and have the capacity to do to reduce that? So as we go through this process this year, they're going to do some things that might be applicable for our staff to be able to do and what's probably more applicable for a professional to do. So hopefully we can reduce that moving forward. But we wanted to budget this much so we could at least be compliant and ask for the worst case scenario.
And so it was a couple of months ago when this first one came out?
Well, there was the initial and that we had to follow that was preceding that we had to do back in.
It was earlier in the spring. Yeah. It was several months ago. I know they've only partially billed so far for work that they completed through the end of June.
So I guess my question is it quarterly? Are you anticipating every few months, or you really just don't have an idea?
Fiscally. I believe this would, sorry not to speak over you, but this would be for the an entire year.
Okay. Yeah. And the General Maintenance District Service Fund, is that part of the general fund?
That's the general maintenance budget, yes, ma'am.
Which is part of the general fund?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, we talked about, you know, putting that.
That's why it says we're general at the beginning.
We talked about making it clear.
That's why I brought that. Yeah.
Is, David, is this based on Eagle requirements?
Evidently, about 2 years ago, or was it last year, that we were under the umbrella of the city. Mm-hmm. They would handle this for us. And now we're no longer permitted to do that. So we have to do it ourselves. So this covers all properties within the district, except for Raisinville and I think Knabler Center.
Yep. Okay. Another unfunded mandate from Eagle. Okay.
Yep.
Got it. Nice.
That'd be an accurate statement.
We smile.
We don't.
Any further discussion or questions?
So if is this considered like a phase one? Would we have to do a phase two? That could be as costly?
If everything stays the same with the regulations and the district stays the same size, this would probably be the cost every year, or at least the budget, depending on the work that needs to be completed. If we were to do, like let's say, for instance, we were to do a lot of construction and we need their assistance for communications before the construction, checking after, it could cost more. But I truly believe the biggest part of this is inspecting all the storm drains, the physical equipment. And some of that we may be able to start doing ourselves. That's why we want to work with them and ask them that what we can do as a district. The main reason that we use them, just like for our pool water discharge, our pumps, all that is because of the compliance and the paperwork is so, you have to be so thorough. But some of the physical stuff, if we could start doing that to reduce that cost, we want to at least talk to them about those options. But I wanted to ask for the worst case scenario. So moving forward, it would just be like the pool water discharge, the pumps, any kind of waste. That stuff is just a routine thing that we do based on how much.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion?
No.
Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mr. Hutt.
Yes, and the motion carries. We'll now move into old business and discussion items. I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw and Mrs. Shook for the state fiscal monitoring update discussion.
Yep. So that we'll be having that meeting
towards the end of the month. I think it's the same week of our second board meeting this month.
So it'll be, I believe, that Monday.
There was no reporting or anything due in July because of they understand the fiscal year end. The information I would provide would be incomplete and somewhat useless. Mm-hmm. So there is a report due this month, and then we'll have a call.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. In regards to SEL and retention, I'm going to kind of hit both of them at the same time. We know we need to get you guys information, but please understand, too, that we're just under 3 weeks from trying to start a school year. And so as my team has availability of time to pull down documents for both retention, the retention materials is the Mississippi information and there from SEL, I know there's documents that you've asked, like, okay, what programs are out there? Those will be coming your way. We know that is that's an area for you. But at the same time, when we look at the hours that we have available as we continue to move, try to get this year up and started, that is a factor.
Well, if I may, the good information is I did look up the retention and the information from Mississippi, and the one of the things they were using is called the science of reading, and it was used in Mississippi, Louisiana, and now Ohio and Indiana started using it. And it's I'm sure you all know, but I took a bunch of notes on it.
Michigan using it too.
Yeah, we are too.
When did Michigan start doing it? It's
required by law. It was actually in part of the budget this year.
Okay, I didn't see that in my.
Science of reading is, and in fact, when we did all the purchasing last year, that was a major component, had to be in the materials we purchased.
So HMH is based on the science of reading.
Okay.
So that's HMH is our reading curriculum.
So I was going to just, that was part of it, and I was just going to share that some of the information from Mississippi and whatnot. So if anybody would like that, I did do some research into it, and that was part of it.
Thank you for that.
Okay. And we'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his second set of comments.
Okay, so I got a litany of items for you. First, office hours. So This building, along with our all of our school buildings, offices are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. The school buildings, their hours are a little shifted. The one building please do not go to is Manor. Manor is in that get-it-done mode. So if you want to talk to Brittany Tylinda, she is being housed right now in her in our administrative assistance out at Raisinville. They're enjoying the digs out there, but as soon as that Manor's open, they're going to go. Now, the really cool thing at Manor, asphalt's going down, and so it's really shaping up here, but it's like every bond project that we have, it's right down to the wire, but it'll be done. We've already talked about staffing in this Friday. Back to school, class begin August 31st. Everyone knows that. And to all those students that are watching, August 31st is coming up. Then we're excited, though. Every building has open house on Thursday the 27th. So if you want to take part in that, the one recommendation is get a driver. Okay, if you want to get to all of them and do the walkthrough, it's one of those things my wife does for me. She drives me each one so I can get in and out and to try and catch them all. Because if you don't have that and try to get parking, it won't work. You'll get clogged up and not make it.
Did anybody think that might have been a challenge for people that have students at multiple schools?
But we're trying, so when we...
I mean, just because you said that someone dropped
them
off.
So we do take that into accord, but it's mm-hmm. extremely tough when you go, okay, so you're going to do some buildings on a Wednesday night, other buildings on a Thursday night, and so it is...
I think they used to stagger.
We do stagger the different buildings, though. The K-4s are all the same time. But the high school is at a different time, Orchard's a different time, middle school to try and stagger that. But
is the 5-6 the same time as the middle at the elementary though?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yes, there's an overlap. I don't have that document right here.
It's just challenging. You but just mentioned Terry, the challenge.
Oh, it is.
I was just going to say that the start times are staggered. They do overlap in their time frame, but they are staggered. And you are correct. There are probably families out there who have a high school student, a middle school student, and an elementary student. Somehow they seem to make it work. Mm-hmm. All right. So.
Does that include, is Manor also going to be open?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And so that's, I said this at our last meeting, that's why Dave stressed a little bit this time of year. He'll make it happen because that's just what Dave does. Registration, so new student registration, and so if you hear parents that are moving into the district, please they come communicate with this building and or they can even go to our website. Well, also the other part is our re-registration, so parents get a re-registration packet, email to them, we ask them to please fill those out. Fall sports kicked off yesterday, good news, three of our buses arrived yesterday, and the other four arrived today, so all seven buses are on grounds. Four yesterday and three today. Yeah, so we do have all those buses are here. And then mark this on your calendar. Tuesday, August 25th at 8 a.m. is our opening day with all staff. It's held at Monroe High School. So this year we have 3 days of professional development with our staff. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of that week. And so that morning at Monroe High School at 8 a.m., we have all of our staff at the high school. And so... we do an opening that morning with everybody. So if you're available that morning to come take part, please do so. And so like I said before, it's Tuesday the 25th. Tuesday. Yep. And so, but taking lots going on right now as we gear up for less than 3 weeks out. PD for staff and new teacher orientation to... It's full. And at the same moment in time, it's exciting. We had a meeting this morning with all of our administrative assistants and administrators in an annual meeting, and it was wonderful to see all the faces in the room. And what was more impressive is we have two individuals that are teachers going through their master's program wanting to go into administration, so both of them took part in our meetings today, and one at the high school and one at Custer. So... nice little variety there.
On that 25th, isn't there like 8 a.m. start for food and assembly at some other time?
No, we start at 8 a.m.
in the auditorium.
Yep, okay, we start at 8. On. Yep, it's a hard
food
start.
Food didn't start before then.
People come in earlier.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what wandering. I was thinking. I wasn't yep. quite sure.
Yep. Yeah. So there are no T-shirts this year.
No T-shirts.
No T-shirts.
I
know. No T-shirts. And then when it comes to the food, we're looking at how much it'll cost and make sure our sponsors can cover that bill. So if food is provided on that morning, it'll be done through the mechanism of our sponsors. So that's all I have today, sir.
Okay. Public commentary on any topic?
I don't see any, Mr. Eck.
No?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you. Board member commentary. Brian, you want to start us? Okay, Stacy.
I'm good tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just got a question out of curiosity. Maybe Cassie can answer it. How does it look for incoming students? Are we losing as many as we thought, or did we gain?
I have not touched base with Mrs. Jones yet to see how things are looking. I can certainly do that and see if she has a projection yet.
It was just curiosity, yeah. More than anything.
I usually don't ask until we have butts and seats.
Okay.
So what you're going to see right now is more students that have enrolled and less that NAS may have exited, because with the secretaries returning here yesterday, now we'll start to get the request for records and the exiting of them. So that's what will be occurring. And so we're at a very fluid time here for the next 2 weeks of those students being exited out because they've gone to another school district. We get that request, then we exit them, or the kids being enrolled. So right now, we're going to look heavy because they're pulling those kids in left and right and putting them into our system. Because Kim Jones has been registering kids throughout the whole summer, and so there's a process for that. So that next piece, though, will be is that now any request for records, that doesn't go to that another school. So that count is really
fluid.
It's not even close to being
okay,
accurate. I can give you a number right now, and that will shift in 2 days because two buildings do this. So that number, more solid numbers in the next 2 weeks.
No problem.
Because that school of choice has already been a done thing. This is in addition to that.
Right, but the school of choice, so you have the school of choice students, which in our system, request for records, was a small number, less than 10 kids. But those 10 kids, though, they enroll that next district. That next district needs to put that request back here. Well, for some districts, they may not have their staff back in until like next week, so we won't get that request for those records. So even though we might have signed off on that student for school of choice outside of our district, until we get the request for records, we won't know for a fact, because even though I've signed off on them, they may not leave. And so it's only when we get that request that we take them out of the system.
Twice.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Darla?
I don't have anything.
No? Just a couple of things. Just let everybody know I'm continually monitoring the Michigan State site. M steps are not out yet, but should be out in the next, I would hope, week or so. As soon as I have those, I'll start shooting out the information. And then I guess a question, was it yesterday or today? There was an executive action on vaccine recommendations to split them up. Do we have to change any of our requirements to our parents for that?
So when it comes to vaccines and the requirements, that'll come out of health department.
So
they'll provide that guidance as what we are to communicate out to our parents and/or. So I would anticipate information from them and/or even out of Lansing on what we have to do.
Okay.
That wasn't federal, Tom. That was state.
No, that was federal.
Yeah.
That
was trickle down to state.
Executive action that their recommendation now is to split up, basically the MMR split it up into individual shots. Okay. Not required, but recommendation. So. And that's all I've got. So that concludes our agenda. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Do I have support?
Support.
Both hands. Okay. Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting for Tuesday, August 11th, 2026 is adjourned, and the time is 7:50 p.m.
Go home. Watch baseball.
Have a great night.
Watch baseball.